morning PM. Morning, I'm not sure if the DJ is back and is in the meeting, or are we still having Dr. Whittle acting? But anyway, morning to the MECs. We are supposed to be having 3 MECs in the meeting, Berlin, Free State, Northern Cape, and Western Cape. Morning to the officials from provinces as well, and the people that have joined our meeting. I'm requesting not to open my video. We are having load shedding this side, so I'm just worried of my bandwidth. Miss Gaya, your hand is up.
Yes. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning to all the Honourable members in the House, and also good morning to DM. I just wanted to indicate that DC is back from leave, and he is currently travelling in the provinces. I think he's in the Eastern Cape, or in Limpopo, I'm not too sure which one. But he is not able to connect right now. He will most likely connect if he's able to. So he's asked me to lead the delegation at the Insania on behalf of DG, and I'm also tabling his apologies if he's not able to cook to join us. Thank you very much.
Okay then. Thank you very much, Ms. Gaya. So you're acting now?
No, DM, I'm not acting. I'm just assisting DG. Sorry, Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson. I am just assisting the DG. I'm not formally
okay.
acting because he's formally on duty. He's just having network problems.
Okay. No, it's fine then. Can we do the roll call development, please?
Thank you, Chairperson. I have yourself, Honourable Vinka Bigaba. I have Honourable Aduins, Honourable Siwela, Honourable Yabo, Honourable Morwa Setla, Honourable Nodada, Honourable Van der Vault, and Honourable Sukers. Honourable Sukers had indicated that she needs to leave the meeting probably in the next hour for another commitment meeting. I have an apology from Honourable Masha Bela, as well as Honourable Dr. Tembe Kwayo. Then, of course, from the department, I had an original apology for Dr. Mahole, but I see she is in the meeting. Also an apology for Minister, who is currently abroad. And then Ms. Gaya did indicate the apology for the DG for connectivity problems, but he will join us when able to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, can you
I'm also here, Honourable Chairperson.
Oh, Liberian, you didn't acknowledge the presence of Bakumalmo. Members on the agenda today,
when we are still on the apologies, Chair, I have an urgent call, so I will just be present in the first part of the meeting, then I will leave the meeting. If I finish that other thing, I may join the meeting, but I may not. Thank you. That's why I sent an apology.
Okay, then. That's fine. Members on the agenda, we are having the status report on the implementation of the Committee recommendation on an oversight we had in Free State, Western Cape, and Northern Cape early this year. This is the continuation of the meeting we had last week when we had Northwest in the committee. So after that we will deal with the deliberation, and then after that we will adopt the minutes of the previous meeting. Can I then ask members to adopt the agenda?
Chairperson, name is Ronnie Murateka. I move that this research center be adopted as it is.
Thank you, Principal. Any second?
Honorable Chairperson, it's honorable. I second adoption of the agenda. I know I wasn't attending, but I'm not adopting the agenda. Yes.
Dean, can I hand over to you to lead us with a political overview then?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chair. Greetings to you, greetings to the honorable members in the House, and greetings to the DG if he is
recording in progress
connected, and all the leadership from the Department of Basic Education. Greetings to MEC Monagali. I saw him, and I saw the HOD from Western Cape and the Free State. I see there are some officials from Free State, but the MEC, I don't see him that he has joined the meeting. Maybe he will join later. Oh, thank you, MEC. When I was checking, going through the list, I didn't see your name. Thank you so much. Greetings to you, MEC, Free State, and all officials from the ministry and the department. Minister, Chair, I think this thing is coming. I'll call DM now. I'm calling the minister. Chair, we really appreciate as the department and the sincere apology about what happened last week with Free State and the misunderstandings that were there, but we sorted our house now clean. Also, with the Western Cape, Chair, I want to sincerely apologize also that the report only came yesterday to the portfolio committee. So that's our apologies, like I indicated even last time, that we're not looking down upon the committee. We really appreciate the work that the committee is doing, because we don't just take it that you are playing a super boss, but you are working with us, holding us accountable, which is a good thing, and also assisting us on the things where we don't see. So we really appreciate and welcome. So we have the three provinces present today, led by DG Geya, on behalf of the DG, who is back from this chair. You know, DG likes the ground. He is on the ground working. So he is back and full force. I think he rested this time because he needed it. So with your permission, Chair, allow me to give to DG Geya, or you do it yourself. And my sincere apologies, I will only be here for the first part, then I will leave the meeting. Thank you.
Ms. Geya, thank you, Jim.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson. So today, I think that we are here to have three presentations from the provinces. These presentations emanate from issues that were raised on the oversight visit, and that the provinces are here to speak to the issues. And without much ado, I think we should allow them that the various leaders of the delegations of the provinces through the MECs of these provinces actually speak to the issues. They are best able to address the issues that they are here to speak on. And we will respond from our side later on what we have done in relation to some of the issues that are existing in the provinces. We are here to support and to provide information that can assist as well. So thank you very much, Chairperson. Over to you.
No, thank you, Ms. Geya. Western Cape, is it led by HOD? Do you have an MEC yet, or what is going on?
Hey, Chairperson, I do see on the House Mr. Mayor, and I also see Mr. Naika, Dr. Naika, and those are two departmental officials from the Western Cape that I take it would speak to the presentation, and there's also Ms. Daniels that's in the House from the Western Cape.
No, I'm raising that because, yes, who's talking?
This is Alan Mayer. I'm from the Western Cape Education Department. Unfortunately, our minister is recovering. He was off last week with COVID, and unfortunately unable to be in this meeting. You can understand his program has been backed up for a week. And our HOD is currently, unfortunately, in interviews. So I've been asked to lead the panel from the Western Cape side. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. But anyway, members, I think the DM has quickly spoken on the issue that Western Cape only gave us their presentation yesterday, just a few minutes after 3, we received the presentation, and their situation is the same as the Free State. What had happened in the Free State with their presentation last week. That's why we couldn't proceed with Free State. So I'm allowing members to deliberate on the matter. What do we do? Because we did not have an opportunity then, and I mean, departments know they are not supposed to give us presentations. So late. Principal, your hand is up.
And myself too, Honorable Chairperson.
Good morning. And good morning to everybody on this all important platform. But for your commentary on faith.
Principal, are you still in the meeting? We lost you.
Yes. I thought you... Can you hear me, Chairperson?
I can hear you now, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe it's because of the ways, because of load shedding which goes in and out. Chairperson?
It's because of the phone. It interrupted.
Matt, can you see? Can you proceed? Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah. You see, I wanted us to say, can we kindly be consistent as the portfolio committee? They would normally say what you do on your left must equally be done on the right. Last week, we met, we experienced almost a similar situation with the Free State. And given the fact that our researchers were not accorded space to go through all those recommendations and the responses to our recommendations, we requested Free State to go and pass another day. And I will humbly request that we do the same with the Western Cape. And so I submit this to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of our Portfolio Committee and the Department and all the officials present. Look, Chairperson, I know, for instance, I have already said I wasn't there. However, I have a right to benefit from the presentation. I had stated my reasons. Now the submission was very late indeed. And that is not on. It's not going to help us much. And I definitely support the proposal by the Honorable Mgras that no, we do not discuss the report.
Thank you,
Bapu Novo.
Arbozuela?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. I am covered by both the principal, by both principals. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Funibal.
Okay, good morning, colleagues. Okay, whatever the committee decides, for the sake of fairness, I just want to note that it be recorded that it was mentioned that the Minister of Basic Education in the Western Cape last week was of sick on COVID. So obviously, I'm not sure what the procedure in each province is, but I know that several MECs look at the presentations before they are forwarded to the committee or the department. So just take that into consideration that it is not by neglect. It might be due to the unforeseen circumstance. And I just wanted to put that. I do agree the researchers of us in the committee might have a challenge, but I just thought it would be worthwhile to note the difference why things were received the previous day at 3 o'clock. It's not impossible for us as members to work through it, but yeah, there are researchers to be considered. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Van der Waal. DM, we are unfortunately not going to take Western Cape to do their presentation today. We will let them know when they can come to do the presentation. And on that note then, I am allowing the MEC of the state to lead the presentation of the state. And for obvious reasons, because we have turned them back, so probably we say just allow them to present us. MEC, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you very much for the indulgence of the committee that you were able to give us one more time. And let me also thank the members of the committee, and then our deputy minister, and everybody who's present here. Chairperson, I think we don't want to waste a lot of time. Just want to indicate that in our team we've got our HOD, Advocate Malagwani. We've got our DDG for curriculum and district, Mr. Sitole. We've got our Chief Director, Mr. Mokhobo, and one Deputy Director for Motheo, Tase Moloi, December Moloi. So I think, Chairperson, instead of wasting more time, let us ask Mr. Sitole to make a presentation on our behalf. And I've realized in the last time when we were part of the meeting, that there is quite a number of questions or follow-up that comes. So maybe we must spare our efforts to try and explain when that time comes. For now, let's ask Chairperson through you, Mr. Sitole, the DDG, to make a presentation on our behalf. Thank you very much.
Okay, can I proceed, Chair?
Yeah,
not Dr. Sitole, it's just the MM Sitole. I will be presenting on behalf of the Free State. Is Dr. Sitole that national media SDP 45.
What's happening with your video?
That is true. I'm not certain. Is it better now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can see you now. Thank you so much.
All right. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and other members of the committee from the National Assembly. The MECs who are present, and my colleagues from national and the province. We will be presenting on four schools, two from Motheo district and two from Lezwelibuza district. The other reports that are in the slide have just been added just for completeness, because we know that the committee visited the various schools. So maybe the old budget is interesting and useful as well, just to look at the other reports. But the first report that we'll be doing will be from the Motheo district. And if it can be flighted, it is going to be Eerstelling Primary School. I'll just wait for confirmation that the...
Who's flighting the presentation of the statement, Samara?
Chairperson, it's Llewellyn. Can I assist with flighting the presentation?
Yes.
If you could give me 1 second. I'm not sure if members will be able to see that.
Yes, you can see. I can see.
Just
one slide. There we go.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes. Yes, then we'll go to the slide that says it is heading Eerstelling Primary School. I think that should be the test slide. Okay. Yes, that's it. The gap that was identified was that we needed to ensure that the school is prioritized for extra classrooms to accommodate the various grades individually. And we are reporting that the school is on schedule to receive two mobile classrooms by June of this year. The second gap was we must review any decision on the non-viability of the school and support the school to attract more learners. So I'm just indicating that the decision to rationalize the school has been reviewed. And that the school will be supported to increase learner enrollment and to above 100 learners. So the next school that we'll be reporting for would be Lady Fouchier Special School. It is also from Motheo. The gap that was identified was that we needed to ensure that the school is prioritized for asbestos removal as well as renovation and refurbishment of the girls' hostel within 150 days after the adoption of the report. The asbestos removal and the refurbishment of the girls' hostel are on the priority list of the department, and the bid on this will be adjudicated by the bid evaluation committee on the 26th of May. The second gap that was identified was that the flooding and drainage challenges needed to be addressed. So we are reporting that the flooding and drainage challenges are part of the bill of quantities for the removal of the asbestos and the refurbishment of the girls' hostel as indicated above. So we can move on to the next slide. Chairperson, am I still audible?
Yes, you are audible, but I don't know whether you are busy with your phone, you've neglected the presentation, or what is going on, Mr. Toy.
No, I'm still with the presentation. I just wanted to make sure that the right slide is the fact is flighted.
It's letting out now.
Okay, the second gap that was identified was we needed to ensure that the school is assisted with recruitment of therapists and the hostel mother before the end of the second term school calendar. So I indicated that approval has been granted for the physiotherapy classroom duty on the 1st of June, and that the senior occupational therapist and the speech therapist post have been advertised, and the assumption of duties is expected to be in July of this year. The senior hostel supervisor has been appointed and has assumed duty on the 1st of April. So some appointments have been made to fill that gap. The next gap that has been identified, the next slide. And the department must consider to include the school on the scholar transport program. We are indicating there that the school is already on the learner transport program, where they were given two options, where the department would give them a once-off allocation to purchase a vehicle and take responsibility for running costs. And the second option was for the school to be allocated a budget to appoint and pay service providers for transportation of learners monthly. And the school opted for option one, and they were given funding, but they encountered some challenges on the running costs. And the school has therefore requested to be put on option two for the following financial year. So we can then go to the next district. The school would be, let's go past a few slides and go to Leisure Liputswa report. So we pass Mugisa, we pass. Yeah, Leisure Liputswa report. And the school that we'll be reporting on would be the Seding Technical School. The gap, we needed to ensure that the school was prioritized for refurbishment, maintenance and renovations, specifically the paving, fencing and electrification. The submission for the fence was made in last year already, and the process is underway to make sure that the other items then are also sorted out. The other gap was that we needed to ensure that the school remained on programs and plans for building of a new kitchen, and this is included in the provincial plan for 2023 financial year. Ensure that the school drainage system is upgraded and repaired. There has been discussion between the school and the municipality, and a site study has been done by the municipality. So the process is underway to eventually sort out the floodings next to the school. Another gap that was identified, we needed to review the school's current PPN to ensure that it is treated as a technical school and not an ordinary school. The progress that we're indicating is that the school was allocated posts specifically for physical sciences to ensure that the challenges that have been identified are addressed, and the submission has been sent through also that when we revised the PPN this year, by the time that is finalized in August, September, the other challenges would have been addressed, accommodated for the next year. The next gap, it was in collaboration with sister departments and relevant stakeholders, ensure that the school is considered for scholar transport here to protect learners. The policy that we have in the province for now only accommodates farm school learners as beneficiaries. And the school and the district is having discussions with possible funders or stakeholders to see whether we can be able to assist the school. But the policy as it stands for now benefits the farm school learners, and this particular school is in a township setting. The next school that will be reporting against it is Seabo Primary School, which will be our last report. We needed to ensure that the school is prioritized for receiving a mobile library, extra classroom, staff room, and mobile toilet as per the request from the school within adequate time frames. And we are indicating there's progress, that the need was confirmed and the submission has been made to head office infrastructure. The intervention has been prioritized and was brought forward from the initial plan of 2024. But we are also indicating that two mobile library trolleys were delivered to the school with books. We needed to ensure the last gap, that the school fencing is replaced, refurbished within 90 days of adoption of the report. Submission for the fence was made. The process to sort out this problem was started last year already, and the application is completed. So the process is underway to meet that challenge as well. Honorable said that was our last.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tola. Let me see, Northern Cape.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable members of the committee present, the DG National, if the DG is in the meeting, all colleagues from province and national, thank you very much for the opportunity on behalf of the Northern Cape Education Department to be given an opportunity to give a progress report on the issues that was identified during the process of the portfolio committee to the province. Honorable Chairperson, I am accompanied by the head of department, Ms. Moira Mare, who is also being accompanied by other members of the senior management. With your permission, the Chair, not to delay anything, I will request to give over to the HOD to lead us in the presentation from the Northern Cape Education Department. Thank you very much, Chair. HOD?
Thank you, Ms. HOD?
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, MEC. We are ready with the presentation, Honourable Chairperson. In the boardroom with me, we have our DDG for Curriculum, Dr. Ishmael. I have Mr. Brian White, responsible for IMGB. I have Mr. Alistair Andrews in my office. I have someone from Infrastructure. And there's someone from HR also on the platform. I will immediately go on with the presentation. My name is Moira Mare. Sorry, I'm just telling you, I must introduce myself on the book. My name is Moira Mare. I'm the head of department for Northern Cape Department of Education. Our presentation will cover the recommendations and responses on the oversight visits to the schools in the ZF and Gower district. in Francis Baard District, as was visited by the chair and members of the portfolio committee. In the ZFM district, we were at Acer Primary School.
Just a minute, agency.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure with other members whether it's my screen that doesn't. It only says Alistair Andrews has started screen sharing.
Yes.
What is the view with other members?
Okay.
Any
outstanding money that the department owes them in terms reinvestigate the matter. The matter is not yet settled, Honorable Chairperson, because the landlord, for any person to be paid by government, they have to follow a registration process of CSD. And they've been having problems ever since. We send them the documents. They've been having problems because they have to register by a provincial treasury. And we are still trying to assist them to complete the registration process. The issue with them is that the farm is registered in the name of the lady who spoke to us. It's her dad's farm. But they are farming on the farm. And the bank account details that they gave the treasury did not correspond with the name of the owner, and then CSD rejects that, so we try to help them find a mechanism to solve that. Then on the sixth issue, the school should be prioritized for supply of an additional grade R classroom and an admin block. As honorable members will know, we have supported the school with a small ablution block, but the problem we have is that the school is constructed on private property, so we are limited in terms of what we can do in as far as infrastructure is concerned. Furthermore, the school is a small school that in terms of the DBE policy is to be rationalized, and therefore it makes it even more difficult. In terms of the policy for rationalization of small and unviable schools, the cut-off number for primary schools is 135 learners, and they have fewer than that, and 200 for high schools. But as part of the DBE process, which is currently monitored, the province has had some difficulty because our process has gotten stuck. And then we did have a meeting with DBE where they have graciously sent us officials to come and support us. We had a meeting with Mr. Lebe and Mr. Malloy on the 19th of May, and we have agreed on a way to get this process on track. Safe to say, Honorable Chair, that in terms of the rationalization process, it's not a foregone conclusion that Eichstag Primary School might be merged with another school. There is a process through which we have to undertake the research and the viability, and also meeting with the community before the final decision in this regard can be taken or will be taken. Then the other school, the next school, was Freestyle Combined School. First issue was also the review of post-provisioning norms with a view to assist the school with extra educators as requested by the school. And in terms of the post-establishment norms, one additional post was allocated. Second issue, collaboration with relevant stakeholders to ensure the strengthening of maths and science subjects in the province. And then the strengthening of maths and science subjects in the province is included in the provincial turnaround strategy. Honorable Chair will remember this matter also came up in some of the other schools that we have visited. We are challenged as the Northern Cape in terms of our participation rate. For this particular school, grade 8 to 9 learners were performing well in maths and science. Those who performed well will be identified and supported through additional tuition, and they will also be encouraged to participate in maths and science Olympiad through our curriculum units. And then also in terms of our grade 10 and 12 learners at the school, further supported through our weekend classes and vacation camps, especially our interventions for our matric learners. Third, recommendation to ensure that transport service providers are paid any money owed to them. We have established that there are three learner transport routes to the school. On two of the routes, the school is the operator, and operators are paid or have been paid within the 30-day period directive, provided that their invoices are received on time. Fourth issue, to ensure that the school was assisted with the supply of computers for the computer center. The department is in the process of investigating, and assessment is made on the school's computer needs, and then based on that assessment we will procure computers for their computer center. It might be a limited number during the 22-23 financial year. First issue, to ensure that the school received a pedestrian crossing. as the learners have to cross over the N4, as N14 has indicated. There's a meeting scheduled with the Department of Transport Safety and Liaison to assist the school to implement a pedestrian crossing for the safety of learners and pedestrians visiting the school. This is an ongoing matter. Issue number 6, to assist the school with the upgrading and developing of the sports grounds, computer center, and supply the school with necessary chemicals for science and apparatus and equipment. The school receives a maintenance allocation of 109,050 and can address some of the minor maintenance challenges with this allocation. Again, the school is constructed on private property, and therefore from the EIG we can only assist them with maintenance. Mobile facilities through prioritization by the district could be considered as potential computer classrooms, provided such facility can be adequately secured, as that is also one of the challenges. We then went to Stanham Intermediate School. Issue number 1 was that the department intervened to address delivery of shortages in furniture items such as tables and chairs. The school indicated that they have grown in learner number. The school receives a maintenance allocation of 169,093. And they could address some of the minor maintenance challenges with this allocation. This school was constructed through the then ACD program and was finished when they were built. When it was built with new and sufficient furniture upon completion, which happened in 2015. In terms of the current EIG conditions, Honorable Chair and members, furniture in terms of the grant can only be procured for newly built. Construction cannot be utilized for existing needs. I must also say, after the COVID period has passed, Honorable Chair, from the side of DBE, there was an acknowledgement that when the schools returned to full operation, there were a particular challenge with regard to the issue of sufficient furniture, especially learner furniture at our schools, and there was a task team established by DBE, and one of the things that is being considered is what can be done, because this falls outside of the education infrastructure grant, but there is an acknowledgement that due to the growth in learner total, existing schools will need some kind of a support in terms of additional furniture needs. So for now, we, as the province, we are also looking at the reallocation of furniture from schools where it is possible. We are looking at donations, and we are looking at a refurbishment program. We did sign an agreement with the Department of Labor on the back of an existing agreement that our national DG has with the Department of Labor. For the supply of new furniture where needed, but also for the refurbishment of furniture, and we will further explore the issue of refurbishment with the Department of Labor, as the current agreement that we have signed with them recently covers that, but we have to follow it up with actual financial allocation for the refurbishment. We have also received donations in the form of desktops, and we have collected throughout the district, we have collected the frames that were lying around at school, which we can still use, and those will be the basis of the materials for us to further liaise with the Department of Labor in as far as refurbishment is concerned. Further on Stanham Intermediate School, issue number 2, that the pace of providing infrastructure support with regards to sanitation, water tanks, extra toilets and overcrowded classrooms receives priority. Again, Honorable Chair, this is a school that is subject to the rationalization process. Not so much rationalization, but rather realignment. The school goes from grade R to grade 9. And part of the rationalization and realignment policy is that the school would in all probability be engagement as well with the parents and the community, and we need to make sure also that we then do not create a problem now at work or problems work where these learners have to go to. So there is a master plan to be compiled to investigate the mentioned overcrowded classrooms and lack of sufficient ablution facilities. It was found that the learner toilet is sufficient in line with the norms and standards. A specification was compiled, and the honorable members will remember the hazard of the water tank. I can just say that although the report is saying we are currently in the process of completing this work, the work has actually now been completed and the water tank has been fixed. In as far as the sanitation issues are concerned, honorable members will remember that the school principal mentioned, I think it was the issue of the quality of water. There was some disturbing visuals. We have not been able to address that matter adequately, as there were engagements with the municipality, as this is a municipal function, but we will go back to see what else is there that we can do to look at the water quality that's provided to the school. Issue number three, to ensure that measures are in place for updating skills and professional development of teachers so that they are empowered to teach inclusively and help those learners with learning barriers. First of all, the school has to be assisted by our inclusive education unit, and they started the work of upskilling the teachers to do what we call the SIAS exercise, the screening, identification, assessment and support to learners with learning barriers, after which a program then needs to be compiled for helping those learners. The fourth issue, the school reported their challenges that they are having with regards to vandalism, burglary and theft at the school. The school is also linked to a police station. We have also requested the patrols, but Honorable Chair, I have to indicate that the issue of vandalism is still a challenge. We are trying to address that through what we call our QLCC structures and getting them up and running in the various communities in order to do advocacy. But we also just basically had some informal discussions to say the cost of vandalism. I think last time there was a parliamentary question across the country, and in the Northern Cape we reported that 45 schools have been vandalized just during the December holiday period. It's a challenge that we are having, that we are considering, because it does mean that if the cost of just repairs to those schools is in the vicinity of 29 million, close to 30 million, we might want to consider how differently can we use the 30 million. We have discussed as a department looking at the high-risk schools identified through the police reports that we are getting, and maybe beginning to then safeguard those schools through our infrastructure grant, for which we would then have to require and request a deviation. Issue number five, to ensure the upgrading of sports facilities to enable learner participation in school sports. Again, the upgrading of sports facilities, given our restrictive budget, is not a priority in terms of the minimum uniform norms and standards. This does not, however, mean that we will not necessarily try and encourage or assist the school in terms of upgrading, and this is where we would normally ask the districts also to support schools, because in the vicinity of each of the districts in the Northern Cape, we are beginning discussions to say if there are organizations like funding organizations, mining organizations, solar companies that can support our schools, that we need to focus on the infrastructure needs of the school sponsor. Issue number six, ensure that communication between the school and the parents is strengthened, including calling meetings to accessible venues where parents can come. I did mention the issue of the QLCC structures, but also the school principal put strategies in place to meet. Meetings are held regularly at the school. From the department side, we have at each of our schools through the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative, the PYEI, doctors, there's already 300 of them who have been trained, one group through an agreement which DBE has signed on behalf of all provinces, and then also the other group has been trained by our ESS unit. We also have an NPO, Eye on the Child, which helps with visits to the parents of the school. And the personnel indicated, the principal indicated that they do try and do home visits as well. Then we went also to Swiffer Bay Primary School. Issue number one, to ensure that the school was prioritized for the extra mobile classroom that they have requested. The mobile classroom is prioritized for the school. Again, it's a school constructed on private land. We have to come up with a report on what our plans are to rationalize or not the school, and if we decide not to, to come up with reasons as to why we might not want to engage with that process immediately. Secondly, the school requested their full contingent of EAs and education assistants and GAs where there were shortages, that these posts be filled as soon as possible. We have appointed all six educator assistants, or rather the school did, because the recruitment happens at that level, and three general assistants were allocated, and they have now been appointed as part of phase two of the PYEI. To ensure that the school buildings receive the necessary refurbishment renovations, this school is not really much, only receives a maintenance allocation of 29,554, and we did ask them that they must begin to deal with the minor maintenance challenges within this allocation. They did ask for an admin block and extra toilets for staff. They were also requesting library, school hall, perimeter fencing, sporting facilities. They also requested the teachers to prepare the meals for learners as a matter of urgency. And so we have put on our MCF project list the supply of two mobile classrooms, a small ablution block, a nutrition kitchen, and then major maintenance where needed. Maybe just here to indicate, Honorable Chair and members, even though the school is also on private land, as we have indicated, but obviously the issue of ablution, what we call minimum sanitation, we have to assist them with that. And as far as the NSNP program is concerned, there are certain standards for the kitchen where food for learners are being prepared, and that's why we are prioritizing that. At Tamworth Combined School, issue number one was to ensure that the school was supplied with a mobile kitchen unit and extra ablution facilities. The master plan is compiled to analyze the need for ablution facilities at the school, and then we, in the process of investigating if we could relocate an unutilized mobile at another school to use as a kitchen in the interim. To ensure the full complement, issue number two of EAs was employed by the school. The school was allocated 10 EAs, education assistants, and 7 general assistants. They have only appointed 9 EAs thus far and 5 GAs in phase two of the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative. Issue three, outstanding shortages of textbooks and workbooks for learners. They had an issue with that. The school received an LSM allocation of 97,990 for textbooks. They have now, the school procures their textbooks directly, because you know that they can choose whether we should procure or whether they should procure, and they have exercised their choice to directly procure from suppliers, and according to our latest information, all workbooks were delivered to the school as per their projected data, and then there were no additional requests or no requests for additional workbooks for Tamworth Combined School was received by the district. Issue number four, to ensure that the school was assisted with extra learner transport to accommodate learners after extramural activities. Unfortunately, Yeah, Honourable Chair, in terms of the learner transport contract that the department entered into, we are not really able to provide for extramural activities. I think it's a long-standing challenge that where learners are transported to and fro from school, it's always a challenge as to how do you then expose at least such learners who have to leave immediately after school when it's difficult that a group, maybe a small group is involved in some extramural activity, then the whole group must wait. For now, we don't have an answer for that, Honourable Chair, but my off-the-cuff response would probably be that for those for this particular school, we might want to ask them whether they couldn't do limited activities like maybe chess or so during breaks or find some other arrangement or agreement with the transport provider. At Saul Diamond High School, there was a request that the department should support the school with technical subject advisors. With regards to the subject advisors, the department recently received funding from the Premier and Provincial Treasury to fill critical vacant subject advisor posts. Previously, Honourable Chair and members, we still are battling with that situation, but at least now there's been some relief. Honourable members will know that there is a moratorium on the filling of positions. We have made a submission to Premier and Treasury, MSC Finance, through our MSC, and we are very grateful that at least an amount of money was given through which the department will systematically fill those positions that we have agreed are critical positions, mainly at our district offices where capacity has been severely depleted, Honourable Chair, because as people exit the system, these positions were not filled, and it was very clear, still is, and we are now in the process of filling those positions. About 400 posts were advertised, and at least we are now in the process of shortlisting. Shortly we'll interview, and hopefully the situation that has been evident and where people have been acting for inordinately long periods, we at least will be able to mitigate some of it, not all of it, but at least a considerable chunk of challenges with regards to that. I did indicate that the post needs to be filled by between the 1st of June and July, and it is quite a challenge, I must just say, Honourable Chair, when we look at the number of positions, it's scary because you find that you might have 72 positions and you have more than 2,000 applicants. It also shows us the challenge that we have with regards to unemployment and so on. Second issue was to ensure that the grade 8s of the school are integrated into secondary schooling, and the district, in collaboration with Institutional Development and Support Unit at our provincial office, again it's the realignment process, must make sure that the grade 8 learners are relocated from the primary school to high school during the year of 2023, and again this needs to be preceded by proper planning as well as proper consultation with the parent community of the grade 8. Issue number 3, the vacant post. 3 vacant departmental head posts at the school will be advertised as part of our 2022 vacancy circular. This gazette has to come out in June, and those posts will then be included there. The support staff vacancies for Saul Diamond was also addressed through the placement of assistance through the PYEI. I don't have the exact numbers, Honourable Chair, but we will get the exact numbers. Number 4, to ensure the infrastructure needs of the school are addressed within reasonable time, this school receives a maintenance allocation of 228,014 rand, and we have also requested them to address minor maintenance challenge. There is a project on our project list for the maintenance of the hospital. And we have already, although the report says infrastructure needs were not reported to the department, we have instructed our inspector, Mr. Adams, to visit the hospital, and he's in the process of finalizing the specs for the project of maintenance at the hospital. The issue number five was the capacitation of the SGB to support issues of school safety and security. There was a training scheduled, Honourable Chair, for April, but due to industrial action, we had our biggest educator union on work to rule, which unfortunately precluded us from engaging with schools. However, we are grateful that that action has been suspended. I must also note that the action was really aimed at very real issues which we have been faced with, and which our educators and schools are faced with. And part of the outcome of the industrial action, in fact, was the fact that there was an accession from the Premier and the Department of Finance through which we then got additional funding. So we will reschedule the engagement with the school, but we've also indicated that the full SGB functionality exercise, there's an exercise that determines the functionality of the school. That full exercise will be concluded so that we will address the needs of the SGB in a manner that is holistic and not just necessarily focusing on those three issues. Then in Francis Bath, we visited the new Langhoek Primary School. First issue was the appointment of an additional PL1 educator for the multi-grade foundation space. One additional post has been allocated to the school to assist with multi-grade teaching. Two, to ensure the school receives the additional classroom for grade R, a mobile unit in the interim, and the school be prioritized for permanent structure. This includes supplying toilets that the school requests within reasonable time frames. The school receives a maintenance allocation very small of 28,993, and we ask them also to address some of the minor maintenance challenges. The instruction was given that a master plan must be compiled to investigate the feasibility of the existing structure and the future need of the school, and then the school will be receiving repairs and renovations this financial year, which they would not be able to fund out of the small maintenance allocation. Third issue, school kitchen. There was a problem with the school kitchen. It was advised that it should be refurbished or renovated. An assessment and costing was done at the school, and the refurbishment is included in our MTEF infrastructure project list for 2023. Four, ensure the access door to the school receives the necessary attention and upgrading. Engagement with the Department of Roads and Public Works and the Gauteng Municipality will be arranged in order to request assistance in the maintenance of the road. So there was an invitation or request that we should at least just grade the road, if that is the minimum that they can do. Fifth issue, ensure review of the current progression policy by the National Department, as well as the moratorium on filling of posts by the provincial department. I think the issue of the progression policy, it's up for discussion. I think when we talk about education policy, maybe DVG Gayer would want to comment on this. There is a reason, Honourable Chair and members, why the department has decided on learner progression, and this is what we are implementing, and we know that there are challenges with this and sometimes complaints from educators, but it's a matter of what is the policy, and if it needs to be reviewed, it would be reviewed at the level and discussed at the level of ECOM. The issue of moratorium there is no hard moratorium of the filling of posts, but there are budgetary constraints that then necessitate special authorization from Provincial Treasury and Office of the Premier. So basically, as much as we say there is a moratorium, it has been stressed that it's a soft moratorium. And the main reason for that is because we have a runaway budget compensation of employee budget that the province is very challenged, and in the context of that, departments are not just allowed to fill positions without going through a specific process of motivating. Kimberley Technical High, to ensure that the school was supplied with extra workshops and laboratories as well as extra classrooms, was a request from the school. There was an increase in learner numbers and the school needed to receive the necessary additional resources required for the subjects offered. The district office has identified the need for additional workshops due to budget availability and the education infrastructure grant conditions. For now, Honorable Chair and members, the grant conditions have changed. We are limited in terms of erecting new structures. We now, rightfully so, have to spend 60% of our EIG on maintenance, and therefore new infrastructure has to be carefully planned on our infrastructure plan, and for now we will not be able to respond necessarily to this particular request until 2024-25 financial year unless we get some cash injection from elsewhere. Such discussions are also taking place at the level of the province. Issue number two, to ensure that school was assisted with the appointment of educators with technical qualifications. All the educator posts are now filled at the school. Ensure that staff establishment was calculated differently for technical schools. We need to indicate that in terms of the post establishment norms and weightings, those weightings are actually already included in the calculations, Honorable Chair and members. It doesn't always give our schools what they think or rather what they say they want, and where we have such challenges, we actually go to them and re-look how they have drawn up their timetable, whether the teachers are teaching at the norms as prescribed. As you know, there are norms for the percentage of teaching time that each educator, including the principal, has to teach. And for now, that is what we can do to support the schools. If there are exceptional cases where they motivate, then we might consider it. There is a challenge, I must indicate, Honorable Chair, at dual medium schools and parallel medium schools, it has come up several times. Honorable Chair might remember that at our visit, we also had the lady from Namakwa, Ms. Makebe, raising issues about instruction in a different language of learning and the challenges that we are sitting with throughout the system where our educators are not necessarily capacitated to teach in more than one language. We're having difficulty to attract such educators even in the districts of JPG and Francis Bar. There is an issue with regards to the current quintiling system for schools. This is also a national issue. Where schools are located historically in a specific quintile, but their learner profile has changed quite dramatically, but where we are able to assist such schools on additional motivation, we try and assist where we can. So this Kimberley Technical High School, in terms of the national table of targets, schools in quintile 5 should have received 254 rand per learner. Kimberley Technical High School was funded at the per capita of 491 rand per learner, precisely because of the fact that their learner profile has changed dramatically. But again, for now, as with regards to the re-quintiling of schools, it's another matter that probably has to be discussed at the policy-making level. I think I indicated for the We are anticipating that the school might receive a per capita of 530 compared to 266, because it's a technical school. There are also other things that that allow us to give them additional weightings. The fact that they have technical subjects and so on also then qualifies them for additional funding. To ensure the school was assisted with procurement of textbooks for new subjects, the school procured its textbooks centrally for the 22 academic year and has access to the updated catalogue. We also held an LTSM workshop during May 2021 to assist new committee members, SGBs and the senior management team with activities and guidelines of LTSM for the 2022 academic year. Then we go to floors high. Issue one, the school must be supplied with two extra mobile units. They want additional taps and JoJo tanks. The school, the mobile identified by the school must be equipped with furniture and electricity, and the school building infrastructure received the necessary maintenance, refurbishment and renovation within reasonable time frames. The school receives a maintenance allocation of 163,000, and we have asked them to address some of the minor maintenance challenges with this allocation. The district prioritizes the relocation of mobiles in the district every year, and the school must request additional mobile classrooms to the district office as the district prioritizes which school receives mobiles. The school also has a major maintenance project on our 22-23 MTF project list, and then the specifications is currently being compiled to assist with the water tanks and additional taps. Two, to ensure the school was assisted with recruitment of suitable educators for their critical subjects, the school was allocated one additional post. The school completed the recruitment process and the educator commenced duty on the 15th of March. Third issue, to ensure the school was assisted with shortages of textbooks and any outstanding LTSM, the school was assisted with excess textbooks from the warehouse. An updated list of outstanding textbooks is still awaited from the school. Four, with the introduction of occupational subjects, the department to ensure the school was assisted with additional resources in the form of added space, extra workshops as well as equipment, etc. And audit will be conducted to determine the resourcing of workshops, what they have and what they still need, as well as the provision of equipment and machinery. And where possible, we will assist the school through the MST Math Science Technology grant. At Soplaki Primary School, issue one was the post-provisioning norms for the school with a view to assist with extra educators. The challenge at this particular school, I spoke about the post-provisioning norms, Honorable Chair and members. The challenge at the school is that they lost 102 learners. And of course then this also influences the educator staff establishment. In some cases it results in schools losing an educator, which of course then gives them also some other challenges depending on what the curriculum offering is. But for now the school does not qualify, is not qualifying for an additional educator. Two, ensure the department's infrastructure team includes the school as part of the list for infrastructure related challenges. This school receives a maintenance allocation of 206,877. And we have also asked them to address maintenance challenges. The school has two projects on the 22-23 MTF project list for electrical repairs, as well as renovations and major maintenance. The specs for the electrical project has been approved and is now in the stage of tender. Number three, to ensure that the school is assisted through social cohesion programs to reduce incidents of vandalism, school safety, and adopt a COP strategy. The program of the unit responsible was redirected. Our officials assisted the school in the drafting of a business plan. The district improvement plan was drafted. The services rendered with 8 learner assessments were conducted and learners appropriately supported. All of those activities there, psychosocial support was rendered. We had meetings with the members, SBSC members. Support strategies was shared with the coordinator, and the SOAP like ECD practitioner was trained on SIAS, which is the tool used to look at learner barriers. There were certain challenges, but we are in the process of addressing those challenges. The issue was textbooks, issue 5. The school ordered their textbooks centrally and all textbooks were delivered to the school. Issue 6 ensured that in this procurement of furniture as school is going back, they also had the issue where the department annually requests schools to submit their furniture needs. The school did not submit any furniture needs for the last 3 years, and of course this resulted in the school not forming part of the furniture plan. In addition to that, as I've indicated, if it's not a new structure, Honourable Chair, then we have to make them part of our refurbishment plan, and the matter was addressed with the school to say that they need to follow the necessary processes in terms of requesting. 7, to ensure that the QRPC coordinator and team are effective to support the school, a pre-engagement visit to the school was done. For the resuscitation of the QRPC structure to provide support, meetings were arranged to address the challenges, and then the district QRPC, although we had the industrial action, subsequent to that, the district QRPC coordinator has in fact been able to capacitate the schools and will now also carry on resuscitating the QRPC quality learning teaching committee structure, which is aimed at assisting a number of the social issues that the school is faced with. The visit was to the Klamaleng Special School for the Deaf and the Blind. First recommendation to ensure the need for establishment of special school in the Northern Cape is addressed in reasonable time. We just wanted to indicate that one special school, the construction for one special school costs 196 million, and this does not take into consideration the operational cost of such an institution. We are in the process, Honourable Chair and members, to explore alternative approaches such as the conversion of an underutilized hostel or school of an existing school, and we have included the special school in Pixikaseme and ZF our district on our 2223 MTF project list. A new special school that will cater for visual and hearing handicapped as well as autism learners, affected learners, is planned for ZFM. Planning on this project will start in the 2223 financial year, subject to the availability of budget. However, the department has an interim solution head project at AJ Ferreira Secondary School in order to at least make the school accessible for physically disabled learners. A new special school that will cater for mentally handicapped learners in all 3 streams is planned for Pixikaseme, and the planning will start in the 2023-24 financial year, also subject to the availability of budget. In the meantime, the department has identified Valitron Primary School in order to make the school accessible for disabled learners. But again, engagement has started with the district to replace the school with Alpha Primary located in the R. There were subsequent investigations and feasibility studies at Valitron. Recommendation 2, to ensure that challenges and remedial action needed around the learning takes priority as a matter of urgency. Inclusive education unit in collaboration with curriculum will ensure that teachers are capacitated and supported and that learning needs are addressed. 3, to ensure the school procurement needs for braille and sign language issues. The sign language catalog was given to the school. Braille and large print catalogs are shared on a regular basis with the school as and when received from Pioneer provider. Number four, to ensure that educators are capacitated in workshops for curriculum support, supply chain issues. Inclusive education in collaboration with curriculum will ensure that teachers are capacitated and supported. And I think what we probably would have to do here, Honorable Chair, I'm just thinking as I'm speaking that our inclusive education unit, I think they kind of under-reporting on the issues that they are trying to do. We might want to draft a full report and then provide that to the committee with what we are doing to support our learners with special needs. Five, to ensure that infrastructure needs of the school takes precedence. The challenges mentioned in terms of land is being investigated and assistance has been provided to the school. Six, to ensure that learner transport support is reviewed, taking into consideration the circumstances of learners. Currently, we only have one public special school that is benefiting from the learner transport program, which is the one in Clancia. The learner transport and inclusive education units were directed by the EMT of the department to discuss the rendering of learner transport services to all public special schools. These units are currently busy profiling the special schools, focusing on the needs of individual learners and the possible extension of the transport program to these schools. The inclusion of special schools will require a phased approach, and furthermore, learner transport services will be available for daily transport to schools and back, schools back and home only. Seven, to ensure the department provides school with subject advisory to specialists. The subject advisory support will be improved. The district has been requested to include the school in their support program. The department recently received funding from Provincial Treasury to fill the critical vacant subject advisor post. I have spoken about that. And then in terms of the management plan for the filling of the post, they were advertised and they need to be filled by July 2022. I may just also want to say, in addition to this, Honorable Chair, there is also funding available through what we call the LSFIT grant, which makes provision for additional support at the level of the province, specifically in inclusive education, like occupational therapists, and we have taken a decision that these posts need to be advertised ASAP. There are seven posts that have been identified, and we will be putting it through the process of advertising, hopefully before the end of July. Honorable Chair, that's where we will end. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, HOK. Can I note, hands, honorable members, that's the presentations from Free State and another MK. They are responding on the recommendations we have made then after the oversight in those provinces. Babu Ngobo, followed by Honorable Van der Waal.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thanks to the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister and members of the Department, MECs, present. Look, Chairperson, I first of all wish to say that I will be brief and kind of general, try to encapsulate what I found to be noteworthy in most presentations. It is worth noting that among problems identified in part, particular, I think I noted, now let me not call them by names. I noted the issue of safety. In fact, when the reports were presented, it was in the form of Putin fans and the issues of learner transport. I just want to say we are going through a rough patch in South Africa where people have run amok. There is vandalism, a lot of it, and there is violence, in particular the GBV and children. And now, to me, Chairperson, I would say it's commendable that the schools that were visited and the safety issues identified, they seem to have been rectified in the form of erecting fence, although in some cases it will still be done. They are still talking about moving towards doing it. But I mean, it's not worth making that point. Why I'm making that point, Chairperson, is because I wish to move to saying that it would be good if the provinces would assist when we choose schools to try and be representative, be able to see what is happening in the provinces, not along the good roads, towns, places where we can only see not the West. So I know that it would be cumbersome. How much cumbersome it would be to the portfolio committee, so that we can get the true picture. I know it's worse than this, particularly in terms of what I have called safety in schools, because lives of the teachers, it's the lives of the learners, it's the structures themselves, property that is in danger. Chairperson, I would just like to also touch on the second point and then leave it to other members who will contribute better because they will support. Capacitation of the SGBs. I think this one was mentioned by the last presenter, whom all of them we thank very much. And I think it was with regards to Steham, and unless I'm making a mistake. But capacitation of the SGBs is an issue. I know for a fact, and it's through experience, because I've been in this space. The department does not do justice when it comes to capacitating the school governing bodies, and then sometimes they are blamed for failure, and there are some people even think of taking away their responsibilities of being responsible for the schools in terms of what their duties are. So one would want to make an appeal to the Deputy Minister who is present, and the MECs, because they are present also here, that let's have proper representativity of the schools, so that we can actually contribute from a really informed point of view. Chairperson, I thank you for this opportunity.
My friend, if you can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenters, the Free State and the Northern Cape. Chair, my first question go to the Northern Cape. It was quite comprehensive, especially for a member who has not attended. I just, out of curiosity, would like to know, when she speaks of the visually impaired learners, for example, she refers to the LTSM braille machines and writers. If she can just please just inform us if they ever use the latest technology in the IT world, and if so, what precisely are they using, and how many of that, how many schools, more or less, because I think that's the way we need to go. But I know it's very expensive, but we cannot always keep our special needs learners and teachers behind. Then to the Free State, I think it was quite a surprisingly short presentation if you take the number of schools and the number of issues that we have found. But I want to concentrate on Leti Fushia Special School. And I'm not sure if the on the presentation, because I can't go back now, the six asbestos classrooms were addressed. There was an issue about the water table and level, of course. A fence that was promised in November 2021 that was on the department's agenda. And then there was an undertaking by the, I think it was the infrastructure director or manager, as confirmed, and I asked pertinently, what about, and I think it was the girls' hostel, which hasn't been able to be used for a long, long time. And there was this promise that the adjudication has been done, it's been appointed, and it would have been resolved before the end of the previous financial year. Whether that has been done, because there's no report back on it. If it's not been done, why not? What happened to the undertaking, and when will it be done? It's unacceptable that children with special needs are neglected, MEC of the Free State, and I'm repeating it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Martha Nabal. Principal?
Mudula, Judo. Very religious, Magafero Leboe. The two presentations. Indeed, one must just state upfront that their responses are very loud and clear, well oiled. And as they attempted to respond to the recommendations that were posted to them. However, Jefferson, allow me to touch on two points, and then which two points are almost synonymous in the two provinces, Northern Cape and Free State. The first point, Ubabangobo Mapolova has already touched on it, safety in our schools or school safety. The attempt and means of trying to address that is clear. We are not going to overlook that. But however, you see, this in itself remains a very huge challenge, if not a problem, Jefferson. With particular reference to Free State, I just wanted to be very specific. There is something which touched me the beginning of this year, wherein a learner in a school in Free State, I might be lacking the specifics, but I know they know. They will be able to assist. An incident where the learner differed with the teacher, and if I'm not mistaken, it was a science teacher, a lady for that matter. She went, whether it's she or he went home and came back with the parents, and the end product is they ended up beating the teacher in the schoolyard. You see, it is one thing that you got to try and secure our schools through fences, electric fences, or barricaded fences, as Baba Mahabo has indicated. But it is another thing to secure the safety of the teachers and learners during the day, daylight, attacked by those who should be defending them. Now my question, as a follow-up to that, under the caption, safety in our schools, or school safety, it is, how far did the department address that specific issue that I'm talking about? I'll pause there and go to the second one. You see, Chairperson, on the second one is with regard to the importance of math and science subjects. And you and I would agree that it is true, it cannot just be an overnight thing. We have observed that both Free State, Natural Case, and of course not excluding Gauteng, they have got a tendency of discouraging learners or schools from enrolling for this all-important subject. We may try to justify it and say we have got enough numbers registered at the level of the DPE, but I must say it categorically, seated where I am, that it should always be very close to our hearts, that our schools must be encouraged to enroll for math and science. One of the reasons why we often go all out in the name of importing our foreign nationals. An example of Zimbabwe to come and assist with regards to teaching of math and science. It's simply because we might have reached a point sometimes back where we overlooked that. And as a result now, we are paying the price. We can't even produce enough teachers to address this challenge that we are facing. So, but I want to indicate that we have noted, and we would further encourage both Free State and Northern State, because they are on the platform here, that they must move with speed to make it apparent that the enrollment of math and science and all those other related technological subjects becomes a priority for them, so that those provinces and this country will not be in need going forward, where we will keep on making what are unnecessary mutual borrowing and importing people who must come and develop our own country. This is the submission that I would make, Chairperson. And I want to thank you for the opportunity, Jesus. Bye, Rangi.
Rasuelo?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation from the two provinces. Indeed, we note the progress being made in order to address the issues that were raised after our oversight from the two provinces. Perhaps starting from where Honorable Mraseta left, let me put it differently. There is a view that in Free State, for example, there are fewer learners taking mathematics and science. I would like to hear the comment of the DBG on that matter. And if this view is correct, probably I would like to know what is the cause of that. The second point I wish to raise is with regard to the math and K, in particular 8th primary schools. Given the fact that this school is in a private owned land, and it is almost difficult for the department to assist in terms of the infrastructure. The HOD sees that the school is too small and it could be rationalized. But then she also indicated in the same breath that they cannot just simply rationalize the school because it requires a process for them to be able to do that. Well, then I would like to know from the HOD, what is the exact position of the Department of Education in that process? Is the school going to be rationalized or not? That's probably that I want to hear coming out explicitly, to say the school will be rationalized or it will not be rationalized. And finally, I take note, I just forgot the school in Free State where the position has been advertised and it was supposed to be finalized by the 26th of May. Probably I would like to hear whether there is a new report that suggests that that process indeed was finalized on that day or not. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much from all the members that have participated in the question session. And I must also thank both of the provinces for their input in the recommendations that we have made and what they have done since we have left their provinces. With regards to Free State Province, the issues that I would raise, particularly to the Bensley, where you are saying you're still waiting for the delivery of mobiles, we have recommended that you must have mobile platforms, and you are mentioning that you are still waiting for that delivery of the mobile. Ideally, how long does it take for a department to procure and be able to be in a position of the mobile classrooms? I'm raising this because last weekend we were working in fact till this morning, we were working in KZN for on this committee of the ad hoc committee on floods, and it was 6 weeks, so it's actually 7th week from yesterday that KZN had experienced floods, and for some reason they have mobile classrooms already in all the schools that have been affected, and it's a lot of schools. I think it's about 283 schools that have been affected by floods. So I'm raising it ideally in your province, how long would you take to have mobile classrooms in the schools where there is a need for a mobile classroom? And there is a school which is affected by Pick n Pay, and and a clinic of some sort. What I want to understand from you in terms of their assistance, does it cover the skills that are needed? The assistance that they are giving, are you satisfied as a department that whatever that they are assisting with, which I know they had obviously some sort of an agreement with you what needs to be covered, but does it cover the skills that are needed? And then, Chair, with regards to I mean, I'm saying Chair now, with regards to the Northern Cape, I think that is what partly covered me with the issue of the land that is used by the department, which does not necessarily belong to the department, but rather to private people. In the responses, we don't get a sense that there has been payment that has been made to those people. And I'm raising this because it looks like one of the options that you are looking at it is to have mobile classrooms in the land that you do not own. That is now to address the issue of classroom needs. And if you would remember, we were together with yourself, particularly in Itzhak. And then the outcry that was there from the landowner, and we were made even to understand that actually it's one of those schools that are mainly in the district, in that I've district, that are in land that is private owned. But if the department is investigating how much is owing, and it doesn't come to a conclusion of saying when is it intending to make payments. Of course, I'm not speaking for the landowners, but I'm just speaking because of we had at least an opportunity of being there and listened. How is the landowner tired of the situation that he is not? He is not paid. Now, for the post of the subject advisors that we have advised that you need to fill, and I see that your responses are saying that appointments are supposed to be effected on the 1st of June, which is tomorrow. Can you tell us that really then those appointments are going to be effected tomorrow of the subject advisors? And the last issue that I want to raise from my side is the issue of reclaiming special school. Not reclaiming per se, but where you are saying that for a department to construct a new special school that would assist reclaiming, it's going to cost you about 196 million. Which of course all of us know that it's money that you do not have as the province. And I see you've got plans for a project, to start a project on your 2022-2023 plan to build the school, but then you've got also an option that would look into government buildings that are there to try to cover the issue of a special school. reality, I think we had an agreement that because of the distances of in the province, there is a need for another special school. And I see that you are having options of whether that is or Pixley, which is fine. But in an event that need is prioritized, I think that there should be a need to speak also with Treasury and try to get funds to start having the school, because it's no longer a luxury, it's a need that there must be another special school in your province. And the transport policy as well, because you have mentioned it, as we have raised it, as well as the as our own recommendation, that a transport policy needs to be reviewed that caters for those children in particular, because they are coming from all parts of the province, and many of them they are also coming from poor families. And I think when we left with an understanding that said it's something that you are going to look into, but there is no to me the response to that issue of transport policy is very vague. It's very vague. I'm raising it because when we were in the school, if you would remember, we were told that many learners, especially after COVID, their parents were very skeptical that they must go back. And the school is not capacitated as well to do online to try and get them. One of the things that were an issue is that many of their learners, particularly that are coming from other districts, they never went back to school, which was a concern, and it's the concern that actually made us to make a recommendation that there is a need for another school in another district, so that you try to cover this issue, which is the challenge of attendance. And of course, because of the children with special needs, their parents of course does take a decision and they decide that they must not be there. But if they are there as well, you would have a problem of a transport that now and then is funded by other stakeholders or other people. It doesn't give certainty to parents, but also when we were there, we have agreed that there needs to be a review of this transport policy of this special school in particular. So I'm raising those things because one is of the view that if something was done after we have left the province, it is not much. We don't know whether we have you have started to do some responses, because many of the responses are very vague, are not addressing what we have asked that it must be done. Whether because of we have asked, when you saw our letters asking for us to be briefed on these recommendations, then you started to follow, and then you are not necessarily telling us that this is what is going to happen. I'm raising this because members would remember when we dealt with Northwest, and many members had raised last week's meeting. Look, I don't know whether it's because the department is under administration there, so there are people of Section 100 that are working there. But when you look into those recommendations and the things that they have done, They have responded and very quick to many issues. And a question we were even asking ourselves, how did it happen? Because you only had money in April. But whether they prioritized or they did what, we don't know. But the concern I'm raising is that many of those responses are vague. They are not telling us when are you. There are issues of budget, there are issues of MTF, but we don't get a sense that it's what you are prioritizing. So it might be when we come back next year in April, or around this time, and want to make other follow-ups, or the same follow-up with the department, we might be getting the same answers. So I just thought that one must raise that, so that we know. Look, we're doing this oversight for obvious reasons. It is our mandate. But of course, when we make recommendations which we are of the view that it's things that are supposed to be assisting the department to move forward. And in many situations, we are raising those things because all of us, we've got an interest of the child, and would want the environment then to be conducive for that particular child to be at school. So the issue of a special school is no longer a luxury. The issue of a special school in the Northern Cape, an additional one, is a need. It's a need. It has to happen, and I think we will be happy if it happens now in our time. We no longer see it, because our plans, your plans, are having options which we are looking into. We are looking into the issues of projects, but you do agree that you need another school, but you are not able to discern in taking that decision and making it happen. So those are things from aside that I think I needed to raise. Thank you very much. I'll allow then MEC Free State to lead the responses and about this day.
Just a short one. Yeah, it's an unavoidable afterthought. You're talking about special school in the Northern Cape. And when I was going through the slides, I see here the lady for his special school, which is a victim of asbestos roofing. And I also see in the slide that in the response that they are talking about the procurement processes underway. You see, Chairperson, what I wanted just to make emphasis on, where possible, so that the Free State can respond, is with regard to the timeline for completion. The issue of asbestos is a health hazard to our people, let alone the learners and the teachers. Maybe if they can, like you are indicating, with regard to prioritization, tell us with regard to the timeline when they intend to shall have addressed this trouble of asbestos roofing in the Lady Foshi Special School. It shall assist. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Principal.
MEC, please. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much to the members of the committee and all the questions that have been asked. Chairperson, I just need to confirm that we do take the issues that we've raised and the issues that you recommend balancing. And in fact, because we all know that we've got the same interest in terms of transforming education in our country. So I just want the members to just accept that and know that if there is a delay or failure anywhere, it is not intended. We can't come to you and say we are going to do this and then we don't do it. Because if we do that, actually, we are cutting our nose to spite our own faces. But Chairperson, I thought that maybe before we go into other issues, let us ask the HOD and the team to specifically respond to the issues of Lady Foshier. I know that there were few responses, but there's been other confirmation or in fact affirmation of or emphasis on certain questions that we need to respond to. But I must say to the committee in general that the issue of asbestos has been a very big problem in our country. And I'm sure the committee is aware of a program of called ACD that was coordinated at national level. And this program was eliminating most of the schools that were built on dangerous materials such as asbestos. And we are one province where we have done extremely well in terms of eliminating these schools. I'm sure many of us who are a little bit older would remember that most of these were in the colored communities in the province of the Free State. And then just last week I was in Jagersfontein and I was marveling at the school that has been built through ACD. So, but I think there was one or two challenges with ACD that they were targeting full schools. And the schools where they were partly having asbestos are supposed to be our responsibility. But you must also take note that a lot of our areas, a lot of our communities has urbanized. Therefore, we've been having lots and lots of challenges in terms of building new schools. And therefore, the issues of the budget, the issues of the resources are available. You need to prioritize. You need to be able to say, yeah, the community here without the school completely. And therefore, maybe they sometimes they come as a priority. But I'm not justifying us not being able to deal with some of the asbestos that people are talking about, Lady Foshier and others. But I can just say that I'm trying to give the committee confidence that we are sensitive to some of these issues. And then we will not be able to leave them if we had the resources. But I thought that because there's quite a number of questions on Lady Foshier, actually, can you please raise on the issues of Lady Foshier? I specifically want to speak on the issues of mathematics and the impression that has been created. But I want us first to deal with the Lady Foshier and maybe others. HOD, can you proceed to help me there? Thank you.
Thank you very much, MEC, and thank you, Honorable Chair and esteemed members of the committee and colleagues. Indeed, MEC, I was when I saw the report, I went with the Chief Director for Infrastructure to Lady Foshier. It was on a Saturday. I counted 16 individual structures that's supposed to be completely gutted and actually be re-established in terms of mobile classrooms and ensure that we actually, on a brick and mortar basis, we actually rebuild that school. I must also thank the committee and assure the committee that through this in-local inspection that the committee made, we're able also to extrapolate your concerns to all infrastructure establishments in the school, so that one member said we may not be really representative of the full population of possible issues that challenges that needed to be dealt with within the organization itself. And we use that and infrastructure in our now infrastructure quota preparation. We also ensured that issues of that the committees have raised, they are actually transversal within the presentations that we are going to make sure that this oversight is actually qualitative and actually effective to actually validate the efforts of the committee. Okay, I can also then say this, we made a full account of what is happening at Lady Poshier. And for this, the bid on all these issues that have been raised was evaluated yesterday. The bid evaluation committee is sitting on Thursday. We estimate that the job here will be in excess of 8 months because it's some of the classrooms. So we asked for a complete construction program to be as less disruptive as possible to lay in at the school. Now the issues that have also been raised regarding Ben's play, we have actually identified mobiles from other districts that would have been established by the end of June 2022. I must mention that we had a tender that was running, and that tender is currently being considered by the BID evaluation committee. Because we had to change the scope, and we were advised by the UTA General that we must not keep on, you know, allocating people before the end of the tender to extend their scope by default. So that tender will actually come to an end. But at Bensley, I think also as well as Udisa, we took a mobile that were not in full use from other schools, and we established it. The same thing with Bensley, because with Bensley, the department has got a lot to lose. Because at Bensley, that's where we've got our flagship hostel project at. And we don't want to lose the value that came with the farm hostel project, because it has actually, you know, stood the province in good stead, and it has been hailed and lauded as the best program within the sector. I also want to respond to some questions, MEC, if you allow me, regarding the support of external stakeholders, in particular Pick and Pay to Puluso. The LSPID program fortunately attracts the best resource experts, either them being psychologists, social workers. Every program that is brought into our ecosystem, including what even Bloom Care as a private hospital brings into our space, has actually been vetoed by this resource experts, and we made sure that it is fit for purpose and it is not incongruent with enhancing you know, the skill sets that are actually allocated or aligned with learners of LSPID, understanding that the learning landscape is completely, you know, challenging and diverse. We cannot treat learners as homogeneous. These learners have got severe and profound intellectual abilities. We prepare them for the economic market relative to their cognitive levels. And then when we deal with the issue of mathematics, the MEC will speak on the general thrust in the organization. I would leave that to the MEC, unless the MEC wants me to handle it. I want to deal with the issue of a parent and a learner who entered the school premises, and they end up assaulting a teacher. This was a dreadful fate that we didn't even fathom. Because what is even worse, the parent is actually a lawyer by profession. A man of his caliber is supposed to know better. We have actually ensured that the police act swiftly. This parent was incarcerated for a period of 3 years, sorry, of 3 days, and the state vehemently was opposing bail. Unfortunately, she got the bail, and we ensured that we tracked this case. But we have been very fortunate that our QLTC in that space, our parent community, made sure that we actually came with also our our professionals to provide psychosocial support to all the learners and all the teachers who actually witnessed what happened. This was an outlier. It was never anticipated. But truly speaking, Chair, it is becoming a problem because of deviance in our communities. That is manifested in our schools, and we have got a new social compact with our unions and everyone else to work through our QLTCs, which are the best establishments that we have currently in the system, to ensure that incidents of this nature don't occur. Whilst we think that we've got it covered, Chair, we had another challenge where a learner ran home and then after school brought a knife and killed another learner. Now, we're talking about grade 6s, grade 5s learners. That's how difficult the learning landscape has become for us. But we have made sure that even at this school, because we don't know what will happen, we also place physical security. Of course, it comes at a cost, but we thought it was better for us to implement it. Yes, you implement it at all costs. I'll go to Lady Foshia. And we will ensure her that we do justice to that school. That's why I'm saying I even went there on a Saturday to ensure that everything is in place. And especially the girls' hostels, we need to give them better support. On the issue of mathematics, I know the MEC has been a trailblazer, but if I'm to preface this submission, I would say the issue of downward enrollment in the free stage is not correct. We are quite aware of that report, and we would want to distance ourselves from that report. Notwithstanding that, Chair, some of the issues, including the picture, the national picture, we should spare effort for what happened in 2020 and 2021. Those are the years as a sector would want to forget in a haste. It was difficult to teach and difficult to learn within those, but we will ensure that every learner in every state is given an opportunity to do math and science in particular. MEC, I think you can deal with the issues of math participation. With your kind indulgence, Chairperson.
Continue, Chairperson.
Yes, MEC. Yes, you can proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also just add on issues of school safety, that we have built up quite a number of programs to try and deal with issues of school safety. And I'm sure by now it's common cause that we do have officials at the district level, officials at the provincial level, who are part of this thing called the QFTC, but specifically also on the issue of school safety. And this grouping have got, these officials work very, very close with the South African Police Service. We now have got, we have revived the programs such as Adopt a Cop and so on. But I must also add, Chair, that we have been also on our way, including myself, trying our best to involve the communities, the parents themselves. If an environment has actually been created where teachers have fought with the learners for whatever reason, we have been able to go there and call in the parents and actually told them in no uncertain terms that the parents must really discipline their children, because some of this fight, particularly the example that was mentioned, it shows that the child would have been spoiled from home, and the child would not be respecting people from home. So we've been very, very strongly engaging with the parents to say, this is not acceptable. Schools are not where you just dump your children and not give them support. And I'm very, very happy to announce, Chairperson, that we've been receiving a lot of support from the parents and support from the communities themselves, because we don't only talk to the parents of the school, we also involve the community structure and through our QFTC. So I think that it's an ongoing battle, and we are, as we are part of the whole program of crime prevention. We have discussed with our schools. You were talking about Bensley. I don't know whether they told you that the police in Bensley police station, we have given them the right to say whatever time, if you want to go and raid in our hospitals, in our schools, we have set up a pact with the South African Police Service, because we have realized that dangerous drugs, dangerous weapons are the ones that actually create violence in our own schools. But as I'm saying, it's a program that is rolling out sufficiently. So there's another issue of mathematics, and I think that I hope that I will not be out of order, Chair, when I say it was really a very irresponsible statement to say, whoever said it, that there would be a Department of Education that goes to children and say, don't study math. It shows that people don't have sufficient understanding of the history of this country. The history of this country is based on the fact that, of family education in particular, that there was a time where, you know, the white racist government was saying black people must not study mathematics and science. And the impact of that is that more and more of our teachers ended up not being strongly sufficient, I mean, sufficiently capacitated on training mathematics and science. And that is why most provinces were importing teachers from Zimbabwe and everywhere else. And I can tell you, Chairperson, for sure, that I'm somebody who is very, very fond of mathematics. I've studied mathematics myself, and when I became the MS of education, we analyzed all the failing subjects, and we realized that the two subjects, mathematics and science, were the ones that were contributing to a high failure rate in the province of the Free State at that time. And that is then, we then established what we called EMSTA, right? It was an abbreviation with English, mathematics, science, technology, and accounting. Right. And then we actually ran a program to ensure that we support our learners as much as we possibly can. I went out of our way, we went out of our way to go and recruit teachers in universities. Some of the guys who have been studying BSc mathematics and recruited them into the department for them to be able to do a PGCE and be qualified teachers. And Jefferson, if you can look at our results in the Free State, you will see that the reason that we have been able to pass the way we have passed, it is because our pass rate in mathematics has improved. It is because our learner participation in mathematics has improved. You know, there are small profits, and then we run around you know, a matric class of about 30,000 per annum or so. And then if you look at the number of learners that are doing mathematics, last year when I checked, it was about 13,000. And when we started this program, it was very, very low. It was in 6,000. And the pass rates were in the 40s. Today when I'm speaking to you, Chairperson, the pass rate is in the 70s. So we have done extremely well in terms of improving mathematics in our province. We even launched a program because we realized that one of the problems that we have with mathematics is that by the time learners leave grade 7, they already hate mathematics because they are not doing well in mathematics. And then we rolled out a program that we called Maths for All campaign. And this Maths for All campaign involved unions. It was a real campaign. We involved the doctors, every profession that is there because of mathematics, engineers, doctors, pilots, the Air Force, for example, right? And all these people, we took them to primary school kids, especially those who were in grade 6 and grade 7, to say to them, you know what, you can't let go of mathematics. This is what math can do for you, and stuff like that. So So, and that program that I'm talking about, we rolled it many years ago, around 2013, 2014. And even before that, I'm sure you have heard the stories about something called MedLab. We went to India to try and understand, because they are advanced in India with mathematics. And then we tried to copy some of these things, some of the good programs that they roll out in India for mathematics. And then we tried to bring them here at home. We are very, very proud, Chairperson, because if you look at the number of kids that got 100% in mathematics, 100% in physics, physical science, even last year, you will get those who come from the province of every state. We had a nice radio interview last year, at the beginning of this year, with SAFM, because they were excited with these kids. So there's no way that we can produce these results and at the same time tell them not to do mathematics. And lastly, Chair, we went out with partnerships. With a partnership in Tawumfuta Nyana now, that's running. We call it O.R. Tambo Mathematics and Science Institute. We are putting 50%, and Investec is putting 50% on that program. And we've got a similar program now in Lejwalekutswa, where Harmony is putting 50%, and we're also putting the 50%. We have gone out of our way over the weekend with training teachers in mathematics, because the kind of math that that was brought in the curriculum now was even higher than the math that we did under apartheid. And therefore, we needed to make sure that our teachers now are on par. Members would remember that some years ago, there was a time when you had what is called paper 3 in mathematics. And this paper 3 in mathematics were only done by ex-Molesi schools and stuff like that. And we as the Free State were amongst others who said, let's cancel that paper, let everybody, because you see, it's like the same thing with third grade. In the past, under apartheid, most of the black schools were doing mathematics third grade, and the white schools were doing higher grade. So this thing of doing away with third grade and higher grade has leveled the playing field. So this paper mass three, paper three, was done mostly by ex-Molesi schools. And we went out of our way to say, let's cancel this thing, let that be integrated in normal mathematics. The paper 3 issues. And when I see a black child from Kwakwa getting 100%, I get excited, because if it was before, he would not have been allowed to do mathematics at higher grade. So, Chairperson, I must say that that was really a very unfair statement, that to say anybody could do that. We also didn't know that National Department of Education, Basic Education, monitors our participation in mathematics. The issue that the HOD was raising, that of COVID, notwithstanding that, you see that you continue to do well in mathematics. But I must raise an issue that is very important, because you see, in our country, we also have got to address issues of employment. Once you have a teacher from Zimbabwe who's good in mathematics, and then you've got a teacher in South Africa who has studied mathematics, the law requires that you must remove that teacher of outside, of foreign teacher, so that you can give space for these teachers. And therefore, that is why we have to go out of our way to appoint quality subject advisors to go and support some of these members. I am sure, Chairperson, you are aware that in our provinces, from time to time, the same subject advisors have to go and train the learners themselves, well beyond the call of duty. And I think this is what we've been doing. So there's no way, I think members of the committee must never believe that thing, that somebody can go out and say to our children, you can't be engineers. Somebody can go out and say to our children, you can't be doctors, you can't be child accountants, because that's what it means. If you say to them, don't do mathematics, that's exactly what it means. We in the provinces, we've been even focusing on setting up a school that specializes on specific issues. Say, for example, a school that specializes in agriculture, a school that specializes in mathematics. And I remember that when I became the MEC for the first time, I even said, this thing of Dina Lady, all schools must be Dina Lady. Because in the past it was said that certain schools must be Dina Lady, they are only supported by mathematics alone, and others are not. Chairperson, I can even show you, I wish we were here, I could show you the material that we produce over and above the textbooks ourselves as the Department of Education in the Free State, that we produce to give those kids to support them in mathematics. So I'm sure by these few words, Chairperson, I hope I've been able to explain to the committee that statement is completely irresponsible, and there's no MEC who loves this country, there's no body who loves this country, who could actually go out and say, let us have a situation where you drop mathematics so it should pass. We go there and challenge learners. We talk to learners themselves. We tell them, don't agree. If anybody says you can't do mathematics, don't agree to that. So we do that, and I believe that it will be incorrect to associate the pass rate in the Free State with a lack of mathematics. Chairperson, I think that we have been able to address issues that have been asked. I don't know if there's any other one. In my own notes, I can see that we have covered all the issues that have been asked in the preceding. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, MEC Northern Cape.
Honorable Chairperson, and I just see that the MEC is in and out of the meeting. He's on his way from Kanaf, and he indicated to me that he has got connectivity challenges. So I see at present he's not in the meeting. So with your permission, if you would like me to respond to some of the issues, I could do so.
Yes, copy that, Georgie.
Right. I think the Honorable MEC of the Free State has very, very eloquently and adequately addressed the issue of mass participation. I'm not going to speak to that. I think he has also articulated the way we feel. I just want to indicate that from Honorable Novo and Honorable Murachesa, Honorable Principal, the issue of safety in our schools, yes, it is a big thing. And I think Honorable Principal actually hit the nail on the head, Chairperson, that as much as we are trying to secure our buildings, there's this biggest threat, I almost want to say, of safety inside of our schools, where we have similar challenges with regards to learner discipline, where several horrible incidents are flighted, I think, on a daily basis of learners who are just completely out of control in as far as discipline is concerned, and alternative discipline mechanisms is one of the things that we are looking at as a province. We are also encouraging our SGPs and our schools to be much more stringent in terms of learner discipline and the provisions that the law makes, that the provisions that are provided already in the law. What we find sometimes, Honorable Chair, is that when learners start misbehaving, the issue is not necessarily nipped in the bud by the schools, either the SMTs or the SGBs. And it is an issue that we are discussing within our IMGG unit to see what kind of a specialized focus can we implement in order just to really, really highlight this. I must also say that what we have already done, late in 2021 as part of our initiatives with regards to capacitating SGBs. We have trained 6,938 SGB members across the province on their roles and responsibilities on issue of finance and recruitment, but especially also on learner misconduct and how it needs to be addressed in the system, both in a manner that is corrective and preventative, but then of course also just to make sure that our schools really become much more safe for learners as well as educators. In terms of Honourable Mogo, furthermore indicated the issue of learner transport for learners with special needs. At the moment, our allocations for transport for learners with special needs is included in the allocation that goes to the special schools. But because some of them have indicated that they find it difficult to cope financially, we are currently in the process of profiling those learners who are in need of transport to see the extent to which we can just include them in our overall transport mechanisms and transport policy that we are implementing as a department. In as far as Honourable Van der Waals' questions, specifically for the visually impaired learners at the Tlamaleng school, yes, we have been able to modernize some of our equipment. We have a braille section at the school, and there is a machine that can basically translate any article into braille. Then all of our learners who are there, they are about 30 learners each, have access to his or her own braille machine, and we are also having a math materials currently in braille, so we are trying to really deal with the challenges through technology. Furthermore, also for our learners who are hearing impaired, we have procured some of the latest technology to assist these learners in terms of being able to participate better in terms of their learning, as well as through other assistive devices. And yes, I can confirm what Honourable Van der Waals is saying regarding the cost specifically for the technology and machines that we are using to support our hearing impaired learners goes anything between 40,000 or so for one of them. I think furthermore, Honourable Siwela wanted to know whether in as far as Eitzach Primary School, given the challenges that is located on private land, whether we can pronounce if the school is going to be rationalized or not. I'm not able to give a conclusive answer to that. Precisely because we now in the process of consulting and compiling the necessary information supported by DBE so that on a case-by-case investigation we would recommend, after consulting with the communities and other stakeholders, there is a prescribed process that would then result in a final decision to merge or not to merge. There is a gazette also that has been already promulgated. So we do have challenges in some of the smaller areas, Honourable Siwela, where community members might want to resist the closing of a smaller school for whichever reason, some very valid reasons, and we then will look at all of those before final decision gets taken. Honourable Chairperson, your concern with regard to the process of the longevity of the period through which we procure mobiles, I must say there are a few providers. We are trying to procured directly from the companies that actually make these. And from time to time, you'll find that even provinces compete. Like last year, we placed our order in December, but so did a number of other provinces. And of course, especially in the wake of the disaster in KZN, then we will find that the demand elsewhere is of such a nature that you just have to concede that demand or that crisis kind of eclipse your own issues, and then allow the providers to supply in areas where once they've indicated to us but there is a greater need or a bigger emergency that needs to be resolved, then we kind of have to accede to that. I take your specific suggestion, Honorable Chair, that in cases like Eitzach, where there's a need for additional infrastructure, that one actually then has to look at these mobile units, and I think I would certainly agree with that, because this is mobiles can be moved should there be a decision that we move the school or that the landlord no longer wants us on the premises and so on. I have indicated in as far as Eitzach is concerned, the problem is not with us at this point in time. The problem is with the landowner not being able to provide treasury information on the basis of which payment can be received because of the issue of ownership vis-a-vis the bank details that they have provided to us. But we are helping them to mitigate that. It's just that when we have actually advised them that it's better to provide us with a different bank account number, because you can't change ownership in a short space of time of the farm, but you can really address the issue of the bank account, and that's the problem there. The appointments of the staff, we have envisaged, Honorable Chairperson, that we said by the 1st of June or July. Because of our limited capacity in as far as HR and making sure that the processes are all above board, I can report that in some districts we have interviews running. In other districts, we are only at the stage where we are busy doing shortlisting. So we're giving us a period of a month, and after that we will have to assess and see where there are additional blockages. On the issue of the special school that we need, at least in another district, Honorable Chair, I couldn't agree with you more. We have approached Treasury. We are currently, I didn't want to mention it because these discussions are still in its really in its baby shoes, but you might have heard the president in the State of the Nation address indicating that they would be looking with infrastructure, together with Infrastructure South Africa, at piloting the fast tracking of infrastructure, specifically like school infrastructure and other social infrastructure in two provinces. And I think it's Eastern Cape has been targeted as the biggest province and Northern Cape as the smallest province. Because it was estimated if we have to meet our infrastructure backlog needs, it would take us about 40 years to really eradicate the backlog. And I'm sure you have followed the rationale whereby through various sources of funding, government wants to pilot the idea that we fast-track the delivery of critical infrastructure. And those discussions with Infrastructure South Africa, together with National Treasury. In fact, yesterday, last week, we had a meeting. Today, we have another meeting. And what they suggest, one of the things that they've asked us as prior information is to give them a sense of the projects that if we had the money, that we would immediately want to kickstart through funding. So we will, if the mechanisms can be created, we we will seed some of our infrastructure funds towards this initiative in order to be able for them to source additional funding through various other means and through National Treasury, by which they then hope to fast track certain specific infrastructure projects that we might have nominated. And in the Northern Cape, we have then nominated two special schools, one in Sixley and one in ZFM, as part of the priority list, should we be able to secure the funding. Of course, there are others like 12 new schools and also assisting us with the eradication of inappropriate structures. So, Chair, that is how we are trying to source funding for the special school needs, and indicated in the report some of the interim mechanisms that we are trying to implement in the absence of such schools currently existing in the other districts of the Northern Cape. I think, Honourable Chair, I'm going to stop there unless there's any of the members who might want to indicate that there's a specific question which they really would like us to respond to, which we have not responded to. Thank you so much, ma'am.
No, thank you very much, MEC, Free State, and the HODs, Free State and Northern Cape. I'm not sure if there's any member who feels that he or she has not been adequately responded to. DG, any addition? DBE?
Morning, Chair. Morning, Honorable Members, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable MECs and colleagues. No addition, Chair. The presentations that were shared with the committee, we've seen them, and we concur, and the presentation confirmed that there is a working together between DVE and provinces as one sector. And I'm sure the Deputy Minister might want to comment as part of probably rounding off the response from the DVE. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable PM and Honorable MEC, of course. Thank you.
No, I think PM is no longer in the meeting. She did indicate that she will... I don't see her. She did indicate that she will be... leaving. Thank you very much, DG. Thank you very much, Free State and Northern Cape. Thank you very much for coming to account on the recommendations that we have made. Like we have said, with the Western Cape, we are going to alert them when must they come and do their presentation as well, which is going to be the last province that we're dealing with in terms of the January oversight this year. So at this point, let me allow then the department and both provinces to leave us as committee so that we just deal with committee matters.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thank you, members. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Long live the Chair.
Thank you very much, MEC Free State. you were highly spirited. We want to see more.
Thank you. We will. Honorable Murata, don't provoke our MECs, please.
I thought you were out. freestate.org.
I'm talking enough. Thank you, Prisbar. Can you play that? You know I'm busy talking here. Thank you so much. These are the minutes of the 24th of May, 6:30. We had a meeting on virtual meeting. We had the Northwest and Free State that were coming to on the recommendations, but then those page one is the attendance and of the department, so just the Northwest and Free State, when that's our parliamentary staff. We opened the meeting where we have welcomed everybody. The agenda was moved by Honorable Mbosa, can't call it by Honorable Suela, and then we have had the Deputy Minister who had made the political overview, and then we had the MEC of the state which submitted an apology for the confusion, and then we have then agreed that we would request first stage to come back on a new date, and then we had presentation which was done by Northwest, and that is the presentation and the schools that they had then responded to. It was led by the MEC, and then there was the HOD, and then there was also the Section 100. So those are the observations and the questions which were raised by ourselves, and then we had the MEC responding. And then Tate Matthews, who have responded as a Section 100. And then we had Mr. Mbola, who has also responded. We concluded the meeting. And then we thanked everybody that has participated in the meeting. And then we had considered the minutes of the 10th and the 17th of May. And then the meeting was adjourned at 5:09. Any corrections? In the absence of corrections, can we adopt the minutes?
My hand is up, Mundas Ludo.
Yes.
And I rise to move that we accept this minute as a true record of what transpired on that date in question.
Thank you, Principal. Any seconder? Someone to second the adoption of minutes.
Okay, Honorable Van der Waals, I'll take this.
Thank you very much, Ma Van der Waals. Just to brief members that next week we are supposed to have, according to the program that we have adopted, we are supposed to have a presentation on ECD. They're supposed to brief us on the movement since they moved from April the 1st, but the department is then requesting that they rather change the presentation because both the DTG and the DG that is dealing with the ECD shift will be abroad. So they have then requested that we change and rather have can you just mention again Lebeleng?
Chairperson, it's Friday at 5. It's two reports. One is Friday at 5, which speaks about preschool learner development. The other one is an ECD census report, which they will also come and report to the committee on, Chairperson.
Yeah. So those are the reports that they are going to give us next week. So I thought that it's fine. Then look, they still speak to ECD issues. We will again find slot to have the shift and how did it go when the DDG and the DG are back. So I'm just trying to alert members so that when they see that there is a slight change or whatever that they, when they see that it's not what is programmed, they understand what has happened. So on that note then, members, thank you very much for being part of this meeting. I know that there is a plenary at 2, which we are supposed to be part of. Your hand is up, Llewelyn.
Yes, Chair. I just wanted, before you concluded, just to remind you, Chair, and members of the... is an invitation from the Committee on Higher Education, Chair, for next Wednesday, the 8th. Our meeting's on a Tuesday, but they've requested a meeting for the 8th, Chairperson. I'm hoping you are able to see that, just to show you what was the items. These are some of the items that they want us to join us. They are asking us to have a joint with them on Wednesday, the 8th.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So that's the invitation then for us to join the meeting of higher education next week on Wednesday. And these are the issues they will be discussing together with us. The Fumbarucha Saka Azari, the Metrically Right Program, the Learner Preparedness for Higher Education, pass rate in science technology, the utilization of school for community education training, the career guidance initiatives, the collaboration with universities, and then that is what they want to be presented by basic education. Then Bona, they will speak on the other issues, the career guidance, and any related collaborations with DBE and the progress in implementation of the National Senior Certificate for Adults. So that is the agenda, honorable members. Members, of course, we are expected to be joining this meeting on Wednesday at 9. Yes, at 9. We are expected to join that meeting on Wednesday at 9. I don't think that is a matter that we can discuss, members. We will certainly join the meeting.
Chairperson.
The name Rosetta.
Yeah, I agree that it may not be a consumable matter for now, but can we be clarified on our status when we attend that meeting? Because normally, when we attend that meeting, what does it do?